Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Xiaochui's Municipal Finance and Economics. Today is November 13, 2025, Eastern Time. Reuters suddenly broke the news today, claiming that the chairman of the China Securities Regulatory Commission, CSRC, had submitted his resignation due to health reasons. However, the Chinese government immediately released the chairman's overseas visit schedule, refuting the claim. Regardless of whether this is true or false, at least one fact is certain. The current generation of technocrats in China are having a very difficult time. This applies not only to the CSRC, but also to the central bank. The central bank was recently exposed by Bloomberg for suspected technical manipulation of financial system loan data. Coincidentally, the central bank just released its third quarter monetary policy implementation report, boldly predicting a decline in the Chinese economy and even admitting its inability to curb credit growth. This is likely to offend the top leadership, and I think the central bank governor, Pan Gongsheng, will soon have to resign as well. Working under the current leadership is truly difficult. So, in this video, let's take a look at the central bank's latest monetary policy implementation report and see what its contents reveal. Surprisingly, in the first column of the report, the central bank foreshadows that China's total financial volume growth will decline in the future, including a slightly lower loan growth rate. The central bank's reason is that China's economic structure has changed, financing channels have changed, and the base figures are getting higher and higher, so loans and credit growth are slowing down. The report specifically mentions four specific reasons. This is something we should pay close attention to, because every sentence the central bank says is actually revealing the true state of the Chinese economy. First, the central bank says that the reason for the expected decline in loan growth is that the Chinese financial system is no longer as reliant on bank loans as before. In the first three quarters of this year, the proportion of loans in total financing has decreased to 48.3%, while the proportion of direct financing through corporate bonds and government bonds has risen to 44.4%. In other words, the central bank is telling us that direct financing will increase in the future, thus naturally reducing the demand for loans from the real economy. Anyone with even a basic understanding of finance will find this reasoning absurd. The central bank seems to be telling us that China is learning from the United States, and that China's financial system is gradually shifting from a bank loan-dominated model to a capital market-dominated model. They claim that China's capital market is more developed, so the proportion of loans has decreased. But this path has long been proven unworkable in China. China's capital market simply does not have the capacity to replace bank loans through direct financing. Looking at this year's data, we can see that only the government is issuing bonds this year, and total financing is entirely supported by the government. Direct financing in the capital market is supposed to be a channel for private enterprises, but this year we hardly see any private enterprises increasing their leverage. Therefore, the real reason for the decline in loans is not that direct financing has replaced loan demand, but rather that government bond issuance has replaced loans. The second question is, the central bank didn't tell us what would happen to bank profits if loan demand declines. 70% of the income of China's banking industry comes from interest rate spreads on deposits and loans, so there is simply no possibility of transforming into investment banking. We can see this from the asset structure of Chinese households. The main asset of Chinese households is real estate, and behind real estate are loans. Unlike the United States, where household assets are mainly stocks, and behind stocks is the capital market, Chinese banks cannot transform into investment banks. The first reason given by the central bank is completely illogical in economic terms. In my opinion, it is a very weak argument, or even just written for the emperor's eyes, because no one else who understands the logic will point out the logical fallacy. Furthermore, the central bank gave a second reason, saying that this year local governments issued 4 trillion yuan of special refinancing bonds, of which 60% to 70% were used to repay bank loans. Therefore, bank loan quotas decreased because the loans were replaced by government bonds. This reason is still illogical. Not only is the logic flawed, but the central bank is even taking the blame for local governments. On the surface, the central bank is saying that bank loans have undergone structural adjustments, and local governments have repaid those messy loans, but in reality, the central bank is telling us that local governments were forced to repay the loans. Their repayment of bank loans was not their own choice, but because of the risk, it couldn't be suppressed any longer. This is a forced debt restructuring, which is why the central government gave local governments additional bond issuance quotas. Local governments have fallen to the point where they would default on their loans without these additional bond issuance quotas. Do you all think my interpretation is correct? Next, the central bank gave a third reason. The central bank told us that another reason for the decrease in bank loan balances is the acceleration and write-off of non-performing loans. Last year, banks wrote off 1.3 trillion yuan in non-performing loans, and in the first 9 months of this year, they wrote off more than 1 trillion yuan. With more non-performing loans written off, the loan balance naturally decreases accordingly. Does this reason still sound strange to everyone? I'll tell you a conclusion. The more bad debts banks write off, the more difficult it becomes for banks to issue new loans. Therefore, the real meaning the central bank wants to convey with this reason is that there are too many bad debts in banks now, so their lending capacity has decreased, which has led to a decline in loan balances. Writing off bad debts directly harms the bank's capital adequacy ratio and sacrifices the bank's profits. When the bank's capital is strained, it is even more reluctant to lend, and if it cannot lend, the loan growth rate will decline. This is not a healthy way to resolve debt, but a vicious cycle and the beginning of systemic risk. The central bank certainly knows the truth, but it chooses to use reverse psychology to mislead the public. Finally, the central bank said that because the new energy industry has risen, it has a lower reliance on loans. Therefore, it cannot hedge against the decline in real estate loans, leading to a natural decline in loan balances. This statement is the central bank laying its cards on the table. The central bank's implication is that after the decline of the real estate industry, China will no longer be able to find an industry that can replace real estate in absorbing loans. This means that the era of credit expansion in the Chinese economy has ended, and the future will enter a long-term structural downturn phase of weak credit, weak investment, and weak growth. Therefore, the decline in loan balances is a negative consequence, not a positive one. If the central bank's first column was explaining to the emperor that the decline in loan growth was not a bad thing, but rather that our country's financing structure has become more optimized, then the second column that followed immediately after is the central bank making excuses in advance for the future decline in M2 growth. Note that the order of these two columns is by no means a coincidence, but rather a carefully arranged double insurance narrative by the central bank. The first column first defends why loans are falling, and the second column then preemptively whitewashes the reason why even M2 will fall. The real mission of these two columns is only one: to stabilize the emperor's psychological expectations and prevent him from seeing that the Chinese economy is entering a credit recession cycle. It's easy for the central bank, with its level of expertise, to fool a mere elementary school student like the emperor. But the viewers of our channel all have IQs that far surpass the emperor's, and everyone certainly knows the real reason for the future decline in M2 growth. It's simply an economic downturn cycle. It's inevitable that credit ratios will deteriorate, leading to falling housing prices, devaluation of collateral, platform defaults, excessive household leverage, lack of corporate investment, and banks being afraid to lend. The entire money creation chain is broken, so it's no surprise that M2 is falling. However, the central bank told our emperor a fairy tale. The central bank told the emperor, "Your Majesty, the decline in M2 is not a bad thing, but a good thing. This is not a sign of economic recession, but a sign of a more mature financial system." Quote, the central bank's story goes like this. First, because there is no linear relationship between base money and M2, the fall in M2 has nothing to do with the central bank. Here, they first absolve themselves of responsibility. Second, changes in bond asset prices purchased by banks also cause changes in M2. So a decline in M2 growth does not represent economic weakness. Your Majesty, don't misunderstand. Third, China now has more direct financing, so the mechanism of money creation has also changed. The decline in M2 is merely a reflection of diversified financing, and has nothing to do with economic recession. Fourth, the slowdown in M2 growth is a sign of a more mature financial system. Your Majesty, don't worry. Developed countries are all like this. We are just becoming more developed, not experiencing a recession. I've summarized the template of how domestic technocrats are deceiving our emperor. If loans fall, they say it's structural upgrading. If M2 falls, they say the financial system is more mature. If domestic demand declines, they say it's an inevitable manifestation of high-quality development. If the real estate market collapses, let's just say this is the financial system proactively deleveraging. Anyway, there's no bad news in China. Only good things happen here, no bad things. If we connect this with the news reported by Bloomberg in the past 2 days about fraudulent loan practices in China, we can fully understand why the central bank is willing to abandon its insistence on loan growth and start finding various structural reasons for the decline in loans and M2 growth. Bloomberg's report clearly states that banks, in order to meet the loan targets set by regulatory authorities, are willing to use their own money to help customers pay interest, just to inflate the numbers and manipulate the data. What does this mean? There's no market demand, but the banks must meet their targets. Companies don't want to borrow money, but banks must ensure loan growth. Without real projects to invest in, banks can only engage in self-lending and self-repayment to inflate the data. These loan recipients have no real need for the loans. They are purely fictitious loans created by banks to meet regulatory requirements. Doing this once or twice might be acceptable, but doing it year after year will. The bank's profits. And the regulators continue to rigidly assess the bank's loan volume, even adding a specific assessment this year on the proportion of loans to private enterprises. It would be better if they didn't assess it at all. The assessment only forces banks to engage in fraudulent practices. Therefore, the central bank knows better than anyone how much of the current loan growth is artificial. To prevent banks from destroying themselves, the central bank might as well let us accept the fact that bank loans are declining, giving us a plausible reason, essentially to save these commercial banks. Now, in China, it's incredibly difficult for technocrats in China to work under our emperor. They face a nearly impossible double challenge. On the one hand, they can never tell the truth. They must report upwards every day, presenting a rosy picture, packaging any problems as achievements, and downplaying any risks. This is a fundamental requirement of the system. They must ensure the emperor hears good news and that the macroeconomic narrative remains perpetually positive. On the other hand, they must deal with the mess of the real economy. The real estate bubble bursting, local government debt pressure, deteriorating bank assets, weak consumption, and tight employment. These problems are real and unavoidable. One misstep could lead to a major crisis, like the massive financial product defaults and the Henan Rural Bank scandal. Whenever something like this happens, the emperor will be the first to question them. Therefore, the pressure on Chinese technocrats is immense. Whether it's the chairman of the regulatory commission or the central bank governor, although they hold high positions, who knows when they might be arrested by the emperor's men. The financial system is a high-risk profession. So, I actually think Comrade Wu Qing's desire to resign might be genuine. It's just that whether he can resign isn't up to him. Perhaps Governor Pan Gongsheng of the central bank is also pondering how he can get out unscathed. Times have changed. Okay, that's all for today's program. If you like my program, please remember to like, comment, and share. This will be very helpful to me.